There are two things right now that if you're listening to me, you need to know about that's going on. And both of them are significant. One is this spending bill that has nothing to do with COVID-19 relief. They're going to send you $1,400, same amount they're going to send to illegal immigrants, same amount that they give to illegal immigrants. That's how little they think of you, the American people. This is the Democrats doing this. John Kennedy had a brilliant point to say about this. Senator Kennedy saying, this is a nothing but a neo-socialist wish list from the Democratic Party, and this is not about helping Americans. It certainly is not about COVID-19 relief, because, what, 1% of the bill is actually dealing with COVID-19? Take a listen to this clip from Fox.
95% of President Biden's bill is not going to even be spent until 2022 and beyond. This isn't a coronavirus bill. This is a left of Lenin neo-socialist wish list. I mean, it just is. It is chock full of spending porn. They've got money for transit projects and bridges and language preservation, billions for people who are in our country illegally. I am all for spending additional monies to combat the coronavirus. But this bill isn't it.
You know, this bill isn't it. And the point that he's making is absolutely right, is that none of this money is going to be spent for a while. This is just a big spending bill in the name of COVID, right? We've got you over a barrel. We've freaked you out. We've told you that you cannot oppose any of this because it is a COVID bill. And the COVID bill, you cannot say no to because it has the word COVID in it. Now, while this is all going on, and we'll get into a little bit more about the bill, there's something else that's happening right now that they are using the COVID bill to distract you. And that is the big fight for minimum wage increase. We now know that there's some Republicans that are fighting for a minimum wage increase. The number that they're going for, the Romneys of the Republican Party, they're now demanding $10 an hour minimum wage in this country. We'll debate the $10 arbitrary number in a moment, but $15 is where the Democrats are right now. $15 is what the Democrats want. $15 is what the Democrats demand. It's what they've said that they is the only amount of money that they will actually tolerate. It's the only amount of money that they will accept. Now, there are Democrats right now that are very upset that this may not happen. There's going to be a lot of Americans that will be unemployed. In fact, the Congressional Budget Office says that if you do pass $15 minimum wage, which is exactly what all of us knew anyway, but they've confirmed it now, is that you're going to lose millions of jobs. It may lift some people out of poverty, but it's also going to have millions of Americans that will then either be underemployed. And the definition of underemployed is an important one that everybody should understand when you're arguing over $15 minimum wage. Being underemployed means this: you don't have the number of hours that you need to make a living. When you have numbers that go up, right, when you have the numbers or when you have the dollar per hour go up, many employers will cut you back. So what happened with the Obamacare mandate, you had millions of Americans that became underemployed overnight because of a health care bill. And you may say, well, how do those two go hand in hand? It's a great question. Obamacare underemployed Americans with Obamacare, Obama and Biden did, by mandating that if you did work 40 hours a week, you had to be given health care. You had to have health care offered as an employer, right? That's something you had to do. You absolutely had to have this certain amount of care, because all Americans deserve health care if you show up and work 40 hours a week. The actual number was 30 hours. If you were employed more than 30 hours or more, is how the law was written, you had to offer health care. There's a lot of jobs that could not offer health care. There was a lot of people that couldn't afford it. So what ended up happening? You underemployed people. You went to somebody that had a job that they were happy with, where they were getting 40 hours a week, right? And then they turned it to 30 hours a week, or actually 29, to make sure, because your HR department said, look, don't let anybody go over 29 hours, right? Don't let anyone go over 29 hours. If you let them go over 29 hours, if you do that, then you have to offer them health care. There was a way where they were saying there's no doubt you got to have this 29 hours. So then people lost their full-time status. They went to part-time, which then caused another problem. You had two options as a employee at that point. Option one was be underemployed or go find another job to make up the hours you just lost because of an arbitrary rule with Obamacare that was trying to force employers, small business owners, and others to give out health care when they couldn't afford it. It was impossible to do what they were demanding. It underemployed millions of Americans. Millions of Americans had to then go find two jobs instead of one. It was a problem. Fast forward to the debate now. You pay people $15 an hour minimum wage. There are some people, no doubt, that will come out of, quote, poverty, will have a livable wage, to use a leftist term, which they have turned into, if you show up 40 hours away, you deserve to have a livable wage, is what they said. It was all about a livable wage. You must be livable. Everything has to be about the employee having a nice life and a livable life. And if you're willing to show up and put in 40 hours, you deserve to live a certain level that the Democrats have decided is an appropriate level for you to live at. That's what they've set. Livable wage. The problem is there's a lot of employers that if you go to $15, there's going to do two things. One, they're either going to shut down their entire business because they can't make money. Two, they're going to underemploy you. They're going to cut back hours because they're going to say, okay, look, I'm forced now to pay you more. So instead of 40 hours a week, you're going to get 35 hours a week, right? You're going to do the same job in fewer hours, or we're going to change our business hours to the most profitable hours with the staff, and then we're going to, you know, shoestring it on these others. You're not going to win that battle because the bottom line of businesses and small businesses are going to end up being the bottom line no matter what. If I have a bottom line number and you tell me I've spent a bunch more money employing people at a higher rate, I'm just going to cut hours immediately until we figure it out. So now you have Americans that are underemployed. You also have the third thing that's going to happen, and that's going to be the issue of automation. Look at automation. I cannot tell you how many times I now go to the grocery store and I check my own groceries. I swiped them myself. Please put the item back in the bag. You probably heard a million times. I went to Walmart the other day, and it was busy. There was not a single human being that was actually manually checking anyone out. All of those lines in the middle of the store were totally empty because no one was doing that job. The self-checkout they had added to the left side of the store and the right side of the store, right? The store side you go in where the pharmacy is and the other side where the food is. That's what they were doing. Those people lost their job because they're moving to automation. Walmart, Pizza Hut, Domino's, the list goes on and on. McDonald's, they've figured out that minimum wage increases are coming. They've seen it happen in different areas around the country. They have had these mandates in Seattle and New York for living wages and these really high things. And they just got ahead of it. They just made the decision, right, that as a business, we're not going to wait for it to happen. We're going to plan for it to happen, and they've gone to automation. So it's not just what's happening right now at Walmart where I walk in and not a single person is actually checking anyone out. Right? Not a single person is checking anyone out. It's all self-checkouts, and they're going to move to that because it can save them money, and they know that $15 minimum wage is coming, and they're saying, okay, we have to figure out how to keep our bottom line where it is. With these new arbitrary rules, this is where we are, and it's going to be a huge problem. It's going to be a big one, and so let's start it now. Let's do it now. Let's get ahead of it now. It's exactly what they've done. It's brilliant from a business perspective. Banks are now starting to do it. Have you noticed how many banks that used to have the traditional teller where you would pull up and talk to a human being and stick your check in and shoot it up and over? That's disappeared. Notice how banks are moving to technology. Please don't come to the bank is what they're saying. Please take a picture of the check. Please send a, you know, use the app, take a picture, and we'll deposit the money over the app. Please don't come into the bank. We have no one here to service you. I haven't seen a human being at a bank in I don't know how long. You ATM it. You have online banking. I've even seen virtual tellers now at some banks. They're all moving to this process because when the Democrats demand $15 an hour minimum wage, the society is going to change to make sure that they don't lose a bunch of money. That's what they're going to do. Businesses are going to make sure they can still function even while they've lost a bunch of money. That's what they are going to do. So Democrats are in a bad situation now, which brings me to these crazy Democrats. I'm going to play some of them for you, okay? These crazy Democrats, and they are crazy, that are demanding this $15 minimum wage, and they are crazy, okay? I want to make that very, very clear. They're insane. These crazy Democrats have decided that they are going to pick an arbitrary number to increase the minimum wage to, regardless of what actually is going to happen with people being unemployed or underemployed. And then while that is happening, what are they saying? Right? While that's happening, what are they doing? They're also saying, we'll just go around government. We don't even have to pass it, which brings me to Democrat number one. I want you to take a listen. And they've also now said this is a human rights issue, right? It's a human right to make $15 an hour. Meanwhile, the Biden administration is not doing nothing to stop genocide happening in China right now, right? And human rights abuses in China. None of that's there anymore. None of it's there anymore. They don't talk about that, right? But America, if you don't give us what we want, we will say you're racist, bigoted, you're anti-human rights, you're abusing people, we name call you. Take a listen to this Democratic Congresswoman, Jay Appel, however the hell you say her name, demanding minimum wage. Here it is.
All waiting with bated breath. But I will tell you that this reconciliation process was used to kick tens of millions of people off of health care by the Republicans. And the parliamentarian did allow that to happen. Now, it was done in a kind of a wonky way. But when Republicans have used reconciliation to kick people off of health care, to pass the $2 trillion tax cut where 85% of that tax cut went to the wealthiest, I think that we feel good that it should also then be allowed for Democrats to use reconciliation to pass a minimum wage increase for 27 million workers across this country and lift 1 million minimum wage workers out of poverty. So this is really, really important. I did want to make a clarification, though. The parliamentarian issues an advisory opinion. Once the parliamentarian issues that advisory opinion, it is up to the chair of the Senate to decide whether or not to incorporate that opinion. It's a small technicality, but I do think that we've got to use every tool in our toolbox here, whether it is reconciliation, whether it is, ultimately reforming the filibuster. We're going to need to deliver on our promise to raise the wage for 27 million Americans.
So in other words, we're going to do whatever the hell we want to do. That's just how we're going to do it. Right? We're going to do whatever we want to do, however we want to do it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you guys want to vote on or don't want to vote on, because we're going to do it anyway. We're going to do it. We're going to do it anyway. And this isn't the only Democrat now saying this. Take a listen to this conversation on MSNBC about just going around Congress, mandating a new law, a $15 minimum wage that no one will vote on potentially based on what the Democrats seem to be saying today.
That people have disregarded the parliamentarian's ruling. So we should just be honest with folks. If there are political reasons that the White House doesn't want to disregard the parliamentarian for whatever reason, then just come out and say that. But know that this is the decision that the White House has. The vice president has every power to disregard that decision.
I just want to stipulate for this conversation that Elizabeth McDonough is one of the great Senate parliamentarians. And she didn't ask to be put in this position. Adam Gentleson, how did it come to this in the Senate that these are the kinds of hurdles that the Senate has, but the House doesn't?
Well, reconciliation is a function of the Budget Act that was passed in the 1970s and then updated in 1985 with the Byrd Rule, which is really the issue here. The Byrd Rule is what makes the reconciliation process restrictive and hard to use to pass things like the minimum wage. So it's that series of first the law in the 70s and then the update in the 80s that has brought us to where we are today. But really, you know, the main factor here is the filibuster, because if the Senate had it was still the majority rule institution that it was for the first 200 years of its existence, you wouldn't be trying to force big policies like the minimum wage through reconciliation. You would simply be bringing them to the floor and having a simple up or down vote and letting it pass or fail on a majority vote basis. Reconciliation is an attempt to get around the filibuster and what it has become today. Its evolution from sort of the talking filibuster of the Jimmy Stewart, Mr. Smith goes to Washington days to the 60 vote threshold that makes it nearly impossible to pass everything. So that really is sort of the proximate cause and the need to use reconciliation.
And let me just jump back in here. In other words, what they're saying is it's a tool to pass whatever the hell we want to pass without actually having to have anyone vote on it. We're going to just do what we want to do because we don't have the votes. Because if you had the votes, you would do this. And there's a lot of Democrats that are very concerned about not having the votes to do this. There's a lot of Democrats that are very worried that this is going to hurt people, underemployed people. People will lose their jobs. The Congressional Budget Office has said exactly that. The CBO is unbiased, right? They're nonpartisan. And they have said, if you do this, Democrats, you are going to have millions of Americans that will flat out get laid off, and you will have millions and millions of Americans who will be underemployed, and you're just going to force them to find two jobs. Which is exactly what the warning was with Obamacare. When Obamacare had the mandate that if you had, I think it was 15 employees or more, and if you had people working more than 30 hours a week, you had to offer them health care. All of them did the same thing. They put you at 29 hours and said, go find another job to make up the other 11 hours, which made life a lot more difficult. Think about this. You go to work for 40 hours a week at one place. It's pretty easy. It is. It's pretty easy. And I'm talking about logistics. I'm not talking about the job. I'm talking about the logistics of it. You drive there, or you take a bus there, you walk there, you ride your bike there, and you stay there. You got to get two jobs. Well, then you got to find another employee that's willing to employ you in the other hours that you're not working, which means they're probably not going to match up perfectly. You got to get back in your car. You got to get back on your bus. You got to walk. You got to get back on a bicycle. You got to go find another employee that's willing to give you 9 or 10 or 11 hours a week. They're probably not going to match up perfectly. You're going to waste at least an hour probably of your life every day in the transition alone. And that's exactly what they're going to do with this. But they're going to walk out there and celebrate this, that we care about you, America. We care about you, Americans. Even though the data shows this is going to be a disaster. And CNN, by the way, has totally gone crazy manipulating the numbers. John Avalon decided, I'll be the Democrats' useful idiot of the day, I guess. And I'll lie to you and tell you that this $15 minimum wage that's about to go down, not through people voting on it, is a great thing for America, and there's no problems with it. This is 100% fake news. It's 100% propaganda. It's 100% inaccurate, and the Congressional Budget Office will agree with me. They're the ones that look at the real numbers. They say millions of Americans are going to lose their jobs, and millions of Americans will be underemployed. Take a listen to this.
So the fate of the minimum wage could be decided over the next few days. President Biden wants to raise the federal minimum to $15 an hour, phased in over 4 years. Now, that's more than double what it is today. And this is a very popular idea. According to a 2019 Pew survey, two-thirds of Americans support it. That's 43% of Republicans, as well as 86% of Democrats. And during the pandemic, this is needed more than ever. Income inequality is on the rise, and most minimum wage workers can't work from home.
Stop. You notice how what I'm playing for you right now, that aired on CNN on their morning show, is not news. It's propaganda. You just had a guy presenting it as news, a propaganda piece advocating for minimum wage to go up, saying American workers can't survive without it. Says who? It's CNN. When did it become fact that you cannot survive without a minimum wage increase? Because if that is true, that you can't survive, we'd have 50 million, 70 million, 80 million people living in poverty. You'd have a suicide rate through the roof. This idea that CNN is giving you real news right now is insane. the idea that they're telling you the truth right now. No, this is 100% propaganda, because they just declared on CNN that no one can survive under the current conditions, yet hundreds of millions of people are surviving under the current conditions. So that's just wrong. But we'll sell it to you anyway, right? Because we're the useful idiots at CNN. We're the useful idiots that sell you propaganda that the left has told us to sell to you, which is that we can't survive without going to minimum wage of $15 an hour. Even though millions of Americans are surviving without it being at $15 an hour. Hit play.
And if you don't like policy, I'm sorry. Get stupid someplace else, because this debate could make a real difference in people's lives. So let's get some facts on the table. The federal minimum wage is currently $7.25 an hour. Hasn't been raised since 2009. Also, it's not pegged to inflation, which means that the purchasing power declines over time. So while a minimum wage worker made $1.60 in 1969, that's the equivalent of around $12.27 today. So how many Americans make minimum wage or less? Around 1.6 million. That translates to $15,000 a year, which, if you have a dependent, puts you below the poverty line. But 29 states have minimum wages higher than the federal level, and the cost of living, of course, varies greatly by region. The CBO says that raising the minimum wage could have trade-offs, though. Now, on the positive side, it would raise wages by more than $330 billion for 17 million workers. Nearly 1 million people would be lifted out of poverty, and the government would actually spend less for food assistance. On the downside, the CBO estimates it could increase unemployment by 1.4 million and raise the federal deficit $54 billion over a decade. Now, other studies argue it would give a boost to the entire economy.
Let me stop again right there.
And certainly,
notice what he just said there about the Congressional Budget Office. He just gave you the numbers, which are accurate, that the CBO said about certain things that could happen with jobs. He totally admitted the fact that the CBO said that more Americans will lose their jobs and be underemployed because of this than will actually get out of poverty and have the gains, which is another reason why this is nothing but propaganda. What you just heard there from John Avalon is propaganda. It's liberal propaganda disguised as hard news. If you're going to tell me the facts that X number of people, the CBO office says, are going to flourish because of this new bill, then you shouldn't be afraid to tell me the other number the CBO warns about, which is how many people will actually go backwards and things will disintegrate if you do this. You shouldn't be afraid of giving me both sides if you're being non-biased, but that's not what CNN's doing here. The Biden administration, Harris administration, the leftists have gone to them and said, we need you to be our useful idiots. We need you to sell that there is no downside to the American people of increasing minimum wage. Let me go back to Obamacare. There were Republicans screaming from the hilltops that if you didn't admit the arbitrary rule that if you work 31 hours a week, you had to offer them health care, right? 15 workers or more in the private sector, small businesses. We warned them what was going to happen. People are going to lose hours. They're then going to be underemployed. They're going to suffer. You're going to force people into finding two jobs instead of having the one job that they currently have. We knew this was going to happen. And we warned them, and they did it anyway. And that's exactly what ended up playing out. It's exactly what ended up happening. And so now Avalon's on TV over there going, well, no, you don't understand. There's some good news. It is accurate to say that there are people that will flourish and prosper and have gains. That is absolutely true. There's no denying that if you raise minimum wage. But you also have to do the math on how many people will be hurt. And that's exactly what CNN fails to tell you about in this story. Again, listen to the very end of this propaganda. It's amazing. Hit play.
Doomsaying about past minimum wage hikes did not come to pass. Nonetheless, this is easier said than done, especially for small businesses. Heck, get this. Even Bernie Sanders ran into trouble when some of his campaign workers complained they weren't being paid the minimum wage he was campaigning on at the time. Sanders argued he was paying the equivalent of $15 an hour if he had in benefits. Now, there's an additional hurdle, Senate rules. Even President Biden doesn't think his minimum wage proposal will survive as part of his COVID relief bill. This Friday, the House will vote. Then the Senate takes it up. But they're expected to pass it on party lines through what's called reconciliation, which is only for budget items. And there's a real debate about whether this qualifies. In addition, two Senate Democrats say they won't support it. So does that mean it's DOA? Not necessarily. Republican Senators Mitt Romney and Tom Cotton put forward their own proposal, raising the minimum wage to $10, but requiring companies verify their employees are not undocumented, while also creating flexibility for small businesses with fewer than 20 workers. And note, this is a lot to digest. But this is a real policy debate, not one of these fact-free food fights we've seen so much of in recent years. It would affect millions of people struggling to get by. And if that's not worth taking seriously, nothing is. And that's...
There it is. There it is. If it's not worth taking seriously, then nothing is. You notice there was not a single moment in that report he talked about anything negative that could possibly happen because you decide to raise minimum wage. They did not refuse to mention millions of Americans can lose jobs, not can, will lose jobs, that millions and millions more of Americans will be underemployed. And again, you listen to them cheerleading and normalizing passing a law through reconciliation that is supposed to be for budget, with this has nothing to do with the budget, which means you're changing the rules and making crap up as you go in an unprecedented way. And they just normalize it because they say, well, we've got to at least try. Right. We got to at least try. Millions of Americans are relying and depending on us. We got to at least try. We have to at least try it. We've got to at least try this. This is something we have to at least try. This is something so important that we just try it. We can't not try it, folks. We got to, you know, if it fails, at least we tried. That's how you justify making a terrible decision. They have said that millions of Americans are suffering, living in poverty. We're trying to fix it. This is how we're going to fix it. And that Americans aren't surviving right now, and they can't survive right now, even though millions of Americans are surviving right now and are flourishing right now. And the sky is not falling, but we've decided to tell you the sky is falling so that you'll go along with it. Because remember, you're a terrible human being if you do not believe in paying people a, quote, living wage. If there's anything brilliant that the Democrats have done, it is that. It is brilliant what the Democrats have done here. They have put people in a no-win situation that you're anti-worker, anti-American success, anti-helping business, you know, families, if you are against $15 minimum wage. They don't give a crap, by the way. All the data shows that people lose their jobs and that small businesses can't afford this right now, especially in the time of COVID right now. Who can afford to give out big increases in wages right now in America? I don't know a single small business owner right now that says, I'd love to pay workers more, or I can afford it because of COVID. COVID has sucked the life out of small businesses in this country. And now you want to stick them with a mandated wage increase for their workers? Millions of Americans will be hurt because of this. And they know it, and they're lying to you. And I'll leave it at that.